Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 113 in this series entitled Artists of Transcendence, The Role of a Rebbe. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York during the winter of 57-61.
Good evening. I want to welcome back all the faces who haven't been there for a while. It's lovely to see you back again. There's a story told about one of the great Hasidim of the Alter Rebbe, Reb Eisel Hommeler, Reb Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Epstein, who was the rabbi of the city of Homel in Russia. And once he was traveling with a large group of Chabad Hasidim to the Alter Rebbe in Lyozhne, the city in White Russia where the Alter Rebbe lived. And as was customary then, they hired a coachman who owned a horse and a wagon, and they rented him to take them on this journey there and back home. The coachman was a very, very simple Jew, absolute illiterate and ignoramus. He knew nothing of Judaism nor of anything else in the world. And Reb Eisel later told, he said it was so obvious that during the journey, for example, he turns to the Chassidim and he says that today I discovered that the speed of the wheels in the wagon is dependent upon the swiftness of the horses. He said in Yiddish, "Ich hab heint entdeckt, was gicher de Pferd laufen, als gicher laufen de Räder." You know, the faster the horses go, the faster the wheels go. That was his Einsteinian discovery that evening. They spent time at Alter Rebbe, and on the way back, they were overfilled with a very heavy dosage of a spiritual, godly animation and vitality as a result of the visit to the Rebbe. On the way back, they realized that the wagoner was a transformed man. Even the way he was greasing the wheels, he was greasing the wheels with a certain awe, with a certain spiritual sensitivity. The coarseness, the grossness that they have seen before was not recognizable anymore. And they were gazing at what seemed like a deeply spiritual person. So Reb Eisel turned to him and said, "What happened to you?" And the coachman said that I was standing at the threshold of the Rebbe's room, and suddenly I heard the Rebbe say, "Gewalt." And the gewalt of the Rebbe, of the Alter Rebbe, instilled a very powerful awe in my heart. I suddenly felt the divine presence. It was a gewalt. How can you be apathetic to the presence of Hashem, to the presence of your soul? Rabbi Isaac Hummler was a brilliant, brilliant man. He began thinking, rethinking all of the words and discourses of the Alter Rebbe, and he could not recall that the Alter Rebbe should use such a term. For the Alter Rebbe to use such a term was an exception. And recalling all of the Hasidic discourses, he can't recall the Alter Rebbe should ever say Gewalt. So he began questioning the coachman, and then he realized. The Alter Rebbe was saying his famous discourse on the verse in the second chapter of Shir HaShirim, Kitapuach ba'atzei hayar kein doidi bein habonim. Like a fragrant apple tree among the barren trees of the forest, so is my beloved one among the sons, among all the other sons. And the Alter Rebbe translated it in Yiddish. And when the Alter Rebbe would say Chassidus, it was with an extraordinary intensity, a unique intensity. And the Alter Rebbe said, Ketapuach ba'atzei hayar, azei v'vald apple. And this coachman, instead of hearing vald apple, he heard gewald apple. And it was the Alter Rebbe's vald apple, was very intense, and he heard a gewald, and that changed his life. Azevi wild apple, just like if apples of the forest, ketapuach batzi, and here it gewald up. Now, not everybody of us ever heard that gewald in our life, so that it instilled in our heart a sense of awe, a sense of awe from Hashem's presence. And this is the theme that Alter Rebbe addresses in the beginning of the 42nd chapter of Tanya, Perik Mem Beis, where he quotes the famous Gemara in Mesichta Brachas Daf Lamed Gimel Amed Beis, where the Gemara explains that the reason for the fact that Moshe tells the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu addresses his people in Parshas Ekev and tells them, Va'ato Yisrael ma Hashem alekecha shoyel me'imach, kiim liyiris Hashem alekecha. And now Israel, what does Hashem ask of you? Merely that you fear Him, implying that attaining fear of Hashem was a simple and small matter. And though we are all well aware of the profound difficulty involved, you can live a lifetime and not once hear a gewal that will impress awe of Hashem in your heart. And nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu implies that it's a small matter, as the Gemara puts it, mil sezutrasi. What does Hashem ask of you? Merely that you fear Him. What is He asking of you already? And the Gemara explains, because Lagabi Moshe Milsesutrasi. For Moshe, indeed, awe of Hashem is a small matter. And the Alter Rebbe asked the question, apparently he doesn't answer the question because Moshe was not talking to himself. Moshe was addressing the Jewish people. Va'ata Yisrael ma Hashem alekecha shoyel me'imach. And now Israel, what is Hashem asking of you? What is Hashem requesting of you? Merely that you fear Him. And for the Jewish people, it's not a small matter. So how does the Gemara's words, for Moshe it's a small matter, answer the question? Zogda Alter Rebbe, that there's a small piece of Moshe in every Yid. And when one becomes cognizant of the Moshe within the Jew, one discovers that awe of Hashem is indeed a small matter, as the Alter Rebbe will explain in the continuation of the chapter. So when the Gemara says the reason why Moshe tells the Jewish people that it's a small matter is because for Moshe it's a small matter, it does explain to us why Moshe would consider fear of Hashem a small matter for all Jews. Because Moshe is the property of each and every Jew. Moshe, as he said, as one of the seven shepherds in Jewish history, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David, according to the Zohar, shepherding the Jewish nation, and as true shepherds, molding their spiritual identity, providing them with spiritual nourishment. So Moshe, being one of these shepherds, gives part of his identity to every Jew. And among all of them, it's Moshe who is described as Raya Mehemna, as the faithful shepherd in the Zohar, who in a sense encompasses all of the other six shepherds, by granting the Jew the gift of Das, of cognizance, of awareness of Hashem's reality. Moshe's soul, he said, originated in the realm of divine Das, of divine cognizance. And that Das is one with Hashem. Hu v'dayta yechad. That Das is one with the Ribbono shel Olam, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's this quality of Das that Moshe bequeathes to the soul of each Jew living throughout the entirety of history. And now let's continue inside. Daf Nun Tes Amid Aleph. At the period after the word Chuli, the line beginning with the word Chuli, Va'oid Zois Yeser Alkei. Zogder Alter Rebbe. In addition and beyond everything that has been discussed above, b'chol der v'der, in each generation, yodin itzutzin menishmas Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom, sparks from the neshama, from the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom, descend, or mislapshin, and they enclose themselves, beguv and nefesh, shalchach me hadoir einei ha'ed, in the body and in the soul of the sages of that generation, the eyes of the community. Not in addition to what has been discussed above, that in every single Jew there is a ray of the soul of Moshe. There's a piece of Moshe, so to speak, in every Jew. In addition to that, there are physical representatives of Moshe in every generation. It's not just the Moshe that lived thousands of years ago. A little piece or some dimension of his identity is bequeathed to every Jew, but there are actually, in every generation, there are sparks of Moshe that come down, sparks of Moshe's soul, and a spark is more than a ray. A spark is actually part of the flame, come down and enclose themselves in the body and in the soul of certain individuals defined as Chachmei HaDor, or Einei HaEda, the eyes of the Jewish people, the sages of the generation. And they are physical representatives of Moshe Rabbeinu, living human beings who their body and their soul is a continuum or a consequence of the sparks of Moshe's soul. And the source of this is in Kabbalah, in the Zohar, in Tikkunei Zohar, which is a section of the Zohar in Tikkun Samach Tes, section 69. The Zohar coins the famous phrase, Ispashtusa de Moshe b'chol dara v'dara. There is an extension of Moshe in each generation. And the Zohar does indeed say, Ad Shishim Riboy. The extension of Moshe extends to 600,000 people, which means to the entire nation, which as explained in chapter 37, consists of 600,000 souls. And that's what the Rebbe said earlier in the chapter. But the Zohar continues and says that this extension of Moshe is Bechol Tzadik V'Tzadik, or Bechol Tzadik V'Chachem, in each Tzadik, or in each Tzadik and Chachem and Sage. It's interesting, like all concepts in Kabbalah and Chassidus, it's alluded to in Gemara. In a few places in Gemara, in Shabbos, Masichta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Aleph, Chulin Daf Tzadik Gimel, Sukkah Daf Lamates, Rav Safra disputes Rava. And in the process, in the course of the disputation, Rav Safra turns to Rava and he says, Moshe, Shaper Kamrit, Moshe, are you speaking correctly? But he wasn't talking to Moshe, he was talking to Rava. So Rashi says, Moshe Talmud Chacham. In Chulin Tzadik Gimel. Moshe, Shaper, Kamrit, Moshe, are you speaking well? Moshe, Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham could be called Moshe. In Shabbos, Kofalov Rashi puts it, Rabbeinu Gibedeire Kemoshe Bedeire. Reb Safra was telling Rava, you in our generation is like Moshe in his generation. In Sukkah, Lametes, on these words, Moshe Shapir Kamrit, Rashi says, Moshe Gadol Hadar. But that already seems to be a higher level. You see, there is the Moshe that's in every Jew. There are sparks of Moshe that exist in the sages of the generation. And then it's discussed, it says in Medrash Rabbah, Bereishis Rabbah Parshan Unvav, Ein L'chador Shein Be'Kemoshe. There's no existing generation in which there's no one Jew who's like Moshe. That's based on the words, Vayikra Malach Hashem al Avram, Vayemer Avram, Avram, in Parshas Vayera, an angel called out Avram and said, Avram, Avram, why two Avram? So the Medrash says, Avram now and Avram of every generation. And the Medrash says that every figure in Torah, who Hashem addresses twice, like Moshe, Moshe, there's the Moshe now and there's the Moshe for every future generation, because there's no generation that doesn't have a Moshe. But that's apparently even a higher level, one person who's on the level of Moshe. But here the Alter Rebbe is talking about, and that Rashi in Sukkah writes, Gadol Hadar. But in Shabbos, in Chulin, he writes Talmud Chacham. In Shabbos, he writes Rabbeinu B'dayri K'mayisha B'dayri. But essentially, we see from this Gemara that the sages, or the sage of the generation, can be defined as Moshe. What is the effect, what is the result of the fact that sparks of Moshe descend and enclose themselves in the body and soul of the sages of the generation? Zogdal Terebbe, as a result of this, they have the ability, L'la Meidas Esa'am, to impart knowledge to the people. V'lei Dagdulas Hashem, so that they may know the greatness and the truth of Hashem, L'la Avdei B'loive Nefesh, and hence serve Hashem with heart and soul. As a result of knowing, of being keenly cognizant and aware of the truth of Hashem, they can serve Him with heart and soul. Ki ha'avoyde shebelevi l'fi adas. Because service of the heart, one's emotional connection to Hashem, one's emotional spirituality, is according to the das, according to one's degree of knowledge and awareness of Hashem's reality. K'mashakosav, as is written, Das Eled K'mashakosav, as it's written. In the final words of David HaMelech to his son Shlomo, in the Sefer Divrei HaYomim Aleph, chapter 28, David HaMelech turns to Shlomo and tells him, Das Eled K'yavicha, know Hashem, the God of your father, V'avdeyu B'leiv Shalom V'nefesh Chafetza, and serve Him with all your heart and with a longing soul, implying that as a result of Das Elokei Avicha, know the God of your father, you will be able to serve Him with a complete heart and with a longing, with a yearning, with a passionate soul. Ula Asidu Aymer, and concerning the future time, the Messianic era, the times of Mashiach, it's written in Yirmiyah, Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 31, in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Yirmiyah Navi describes the Messianic era as a time when V'layil Medu Yishesheyeyu Lemer, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, saying, Du'u Es Hashem, no Hashem, Ki Kulam Yedu Eisi V'Gaymer, Ki Kulam Yedu Eisi V'Gaymer, for they shall all know me, etc. But this is the times of Mashiach. But nowadays, we still need Ishes Re'eyu, we still need a Rebbe. We need the sages of the generation, the eyes of the community, who will teach us Das, awareness of Hashem's reality. On the other hand, since this is Yirmiyahu's prophecy, or one of his prophecies for the Messianic era, it demonstrates to us the centrality of Das in the service of Hashem. So in addition to the fact that Moshe, as one of the seven shepherds, imparts Das to every Jew, in each generation there are human beings possessing sparks of Moshe, who are embodiments of sparks of Moshe's soul, who teach that Das, that cognizance, to the entire nation. What is this Das exactly that Moshe, or the Moshes of each generation, grant the Jewish people, which as a result of this we will come to discover that awe of Hashem can be described as a small matter, which was the theme with which he began the chapter. So the Alter Rebbe begins explaining. Ach ikir hadas, however, the essence of knowledge, and the knowledge described above, which leads one to serve Hashem with his soul and with his heart. So the essence of knowledge, eina hayedia levada, is not mere knowing alone. Sheyedu gedulas Hashem mipisofrim mipisvadim, that people should know the greatness of Hashem from authors and from books. In other words, the main issue and the main element we are discussing when we talk about Das is not an intellectual knowledge, that a Jew should know everything that's written about Hashem in books, and he should incorporate in his mind the classes and the ideas and the thoughts and the concepts of Svarim, of books, and of Sofrim, and of authors, including the sages of the generation who teach and explain and lecture and inspire and transcribe. We're not talking about that. That as well. This we also receive of the sages of the generation, but that's not the essence of the Das we're addressing. Rather, Eloha Ikiru, the essential thing of Das is something else. Laha Migdaite Bigdulas Hashem, to immerse one's mind deeply into the theme of Hashem's truth, of Hashem's greatness. Vilitka Yamach Shafte Bashem, and to fix one's thought on Hashem with strength and vigor of the heart and of the mind. Ah, to the extent that one's thought shall be bound to Hashem with a strong and mighty bond, as one's thought is bound to a material physical thing, which he sees with his physical eyes, and upon which he concentrates his thoughts. So in the same fashion, like one depicts in his mind, and one fixes in mind on something tangible, physical, material, he actually experiences firsthand with his eyes, visually, and then concentrates on it, one should do the same. Fix his mind and his thought with an intensity, with a vigor, on Hashem, on the divine reality, just as his mind can be fixed on something physical. Where do we see this implied in Das, which apparently just means knowledge? Kinoida, as is known, should Das, Uloshin is Kashrus. The true etymology of the word Das, Das connotes union, connection, bonding. Kimoy, as in the verse, Va Adam Yada Vagaymer, and Adam knew, etc. Referring to the pasuk in Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, chapter 4, Va Adam Yada Eschava Vatar Vatela Deskayin. Adam knew Eve, Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Kayin. Now, obviously, Yada here doesn't mean Adam knew intellectually about Chava. Adam Yada Eschava means that Adam experienced a union, intimacy with Chava, and as a result of that, Kayin was born. And this is the true meaning of having Das in Hashem, not just knowing it, but connecting to it, bonding with it. This capacity, and this quality, of attaching one's Das, one's cognizance to Hashem, to attach it to Hashem, yesh b'chol nefesh mebeis Yisrael, this capacity is a present in the soul of every single Jew, in every soul of the house of Israel, by virtue of its nurture and its suckling, so to speak, from the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu. Since every soul receives nurture, sucks, so receives unique nurture from the soul of Moshe, so this capacity of Das in Hashem, of attaching your mind to godliness, is present and is an inherent property of every soul of the Jewish people. As a result of the first Moshe, and of the Moshe in each generation, who represent Moshe's spark in this world in each generation. There is there is knowledge and there is knowledge. There is knowing and there is knowing. There is a human being knowing something as an academic truth. I could know something as an intellectual valid fact, but it's not one with me. Not just it's not one with me emotionally, it's not one with me intellectually. We learned in chapter 3 that the human soul possesses three intellectual faculties, Chachma, Bina, and Das. And Alter Rebbe explained there what he briefly states here, the difference between these three faculties. I can comprehend a truth, I can understand it, I can articulate it, I can explain it, I can transcribe it, but it still remains detached from me. Somebody once told me a story about a famous professor of Cambridge who used to teach, you remember? Who used to teach in the, and I shared this with you in chapter 3, you remember? Who used to teach algebra and ethics. And once it became public knowledge about something extremely, extremely unethical that he did. So one of his students approached him and said, "Professor, I don't understand. How can you continue to teach ethics after what you have done?" And he said, he responded without skipping a heart's beat. He said, "I also teach algebra and I'm not a circle or a square." Das is not knowledge. Das is identification. Das is application. Das is not just the awareness that this is true intellectually. Das is the awareness that this is true in my world. It's not just true in seventh heaven. It's not just true in the books of science. It's a truth in my daily life. It's a truth that I apply to my personal condition. It's not an academic, abstract truth. But das denotes attachment, joining, merging. Va'adam yodes chava. Adam became one with chava. Now, one can have a lot of knowledge but lack das. As in a very practical example that occurs to us very often, I think I've maybe shared this with you as well. A Jew comes to a doctor. And the doctor tells him, "Listen, your condition is not that well. You're overweight. Nicotine is destroying your lungs. Sugar is destructive for you. If you want to live, you ought to stop smoking and you ought to cut out sugar of your system, of your life, of your schedule." And the doctor can show him slides and demonstrate to him very clearly and accurately the destruction he's bringing upon his body with every puff of nicotine and with every bite of sugar, with diagrams and images and videos, and the Jew will understand it very well and be able to explain it to people and maybe be able to explain it better than the doctor can explain it. But then he walks out of the doctor's office, and I've seen this with my own eyes, and goes into the cafeteria next door, buys a big Danish, and smokes a cigarette. What was lacking? Did he not understand what the doctor said? He understood it excellent. He understood everything with all the details and so forth. He lacks das. It's true, but it's true in the medical books. It's not true in my daily life in which I crave a craving for nicotine and for sugar. Now, usually, unfortunately, since we're not mind-oriented people, when do we have das in such a concept? When, God forbid, we get sick. When we get sick, we feel the physical pain. Suddenly it drives it home. It becomes real, real. But if we were mind-oriented, das means if you understand that it's real, that means it's real in your life. But sometimes it takes the physical consequences, heaven forbid, to really drive the point home. So sometimes or we can hear a truth and understand it well and see that it's real, but it doesn't change our life. Not because we didn't understand, because there's no personal identification. There's no application. There might be chachma, which is conception. There might even be bina, which is comprehension, but they remain cerebral. Das is application. You know what the real definition of das is? Intellectual intimacy. And Chassidus explains, Dr. Rebbe explains elsewhere, when das is missing, the intellectualism is lacking. You don't really understand it. The concept is not really true in your mind. You grasped it ultimately in a shallow way because you abandoned the ramifications. You didn't take it till the end. You're not serious about its truth. Its truth has limits, and the limits is it's not going to touch my life. It's not going to affect me. So das is that moment where you can hear and hear, but it's the moment when there's the click. When it resonates deep within me. When it touches me. When it becomes part of me. It becomes a vibrant truth. I take responsibility for it. It's a truth that obligates me. That's what das is. And you can hear something for years and understand it, but it still doesn't obligate you. It didn't really permeate you. It didn't click. You know, when you... If you ever put on your child those down coats that have snaps, the snap can be closed, but the click was missing, and then it could open up easily. And you know, then there's that moment when it clicks. It can be all in you, the information could be in you, but it didn't click with you. Das is when the objective truth becomes a truth in your subjective world. Now, this is true about every intellectual concept, and certainly it's true about knowledge of Hashem, Yediyas Hashem, knowledge of spirituality, spiritual truth, godliness. There is knowing and there is knowing. There is a Jew who read a lot and heard a lot about spirituality, godliness, truth. There are people who are experts in theology and in philosophy. There might be a Jew who has read through all of the major Jewish philosophical books, and maybe even a Jew who read through all of the books of Kabbalah. But the Alter Rebbe says that's not Das. You could know it, but it's not Das. Das is that moment when there's intellectual intimacy, when you become one with the information. There's the story with the whole leader, I believe, Yitzchak of Bardichev. He was a... one of the greatest students of the Maggid of Mizrich, a very close, intimate friend of the Alter Rebbe. And his father-in-law belonged to a group of Jews who were severe antagonists to Chassidim, and Chassidus known as the Misnagdim. And once he came home, he visited his in-laws. And his father-in-law asked him, he says, Reb Levi Yitzchak, what are you learning in Mizrich? What do you learn there? So he tells his father-in-law, Mizrich, I learned that there's a God in the world. So he was furious. He calls out the maid. He says, Shifra. She was a maid who obviously then had no education, it was the traditional then, had no education whatsoever, barely knew how to read Aleph Beis. Shifra, tell me, is there a God in the world? She says, Avada for sure. So he says, look, she didn't go to Mizrich. She doesn't know what Mizrich is, and she knows. She says there's a God in the world. So the Levi Yitzchak said, Zizok to Nichveis. I went to Mizrich because I wanted to know. She says, but I want to know. Das doesn't mean we know the information. Das means we know Hashem, so to speak, with the same familiarity and the same realness and authenticity like we know this table that's right in front of us. It's not just an encyclopedic knowledge and all of the material. It's that point of internal recognition of one is that this is really so. It's really so in my world. And therefore the Alter Rebbe says that das is such a prerequisite in the life of the Jew because, as he put it, avoyde shebelevi lefi hadas. The emotional service is only based on das. When you have das, then and only then can you begin living a spiritual life, can you begin developing a spiritual personality. Any spiritual growth, any true godly life can only exist if there's das. If there's no das, even if there's chachma and bina, etc., you can never change as a person. You could never transform yourself. You can never really define yourself. Without das, it always remains remote of you. remote from you. It never obligates you. It never engages you. With Das, it becomes I, it becomes me. And then I can develop emotionally. The Tzemach Tzedek has an expression in his, Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Alter Rebbe, his book Derech Mitzvah Secha, and Mitzvah Hamona Salakus. Mitzvah deals with believe in Hashem. He says, once you have Das and godliness, only then there's the pas. Then he says, then va'as tehapich li'ish acher. Then you can become another human being. You know, then the gewalt can change you. As long as there's no Das, the gewalt might be awesome. It might be extraordinary. But it doesn't change the way I approach things, the way I live my life, my habits, etc. And he explains there, that's why the Zohar says in Parshas Truma that Das is called Maftecha de Kalul Shis. It's the key that opens up the six emotions. This is the key. You might have a box filled with treasures, but without Das, you can't open up that box. You can't bring out not one spiritual emotion in a serious way in your life. And now the big question is it ever possible to have Das when it comes to godliness? Is it possible to really have this type of Das when it comes to God? And here, the Alter Rebbe explains to us in what we just learned, one of the foundational doctrines of Chassidus, the function of Moshe Rabbeinu and the function of Moshe Rabbeinu's in each generation. And being such a central point and one of the most central themes of chapter 42, let's see how the Alter Rebbe explained it here.
So it seems that to me that Das is the power of something that's connected with the mind, that it's the connection between the mind and the heart, so to speak. It penetrates the heart. So it seems to me that Das has to do with the heart also, not just mind.
Das, you're asking if is Das emotional, intellectual. Das is one of the intellectual faculties. But Das is that bridge that allows the intellect to penetrate and evoke the heart.
To affect the
emotions. To affect the emotions, yeah. It's not Das, it's not blurry. It's not blurred, it's not ambiguous, it's not cerebral. It's real, it's Das's application. You apply it to yourself. It's a truth that's applicable. It's applicable to my life at 9:05, Sunday evening. It's real in my world. It's not just real in heaven. It's not just real in the book. It's a truth that's really real. And I take it till the end. Therefore, it touches my life and my behavior and my habits and my approach, etc. One second, we'll deal with this. That's the question. That's the big question. Can you ever get Das and godliness?
It's something that permeates the heart.
Yes.
Penetration in the heart.
I'll share with you a very lovely story that will, I think, drive home the point somewhat. You know, at the end of Shema, each morning, how does the Shema conclude? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am the God, your God. But right after that, we follow that statement with an affirmation. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am God, your God. But we affirm it. And we don't affirm it once. You know how many times we affirm it? 16 times. We say, Emes, v'yatziv, v'nachin, v'kayim, v'yashar, v'neman, v'ohu, v'chaviv, v'nechmad, v'noyim, v'noira, v'adir, u'mesukon, u'mekubul, v'toy, v'yafe. Hadavar hazeh aleinu l'olam v'at. I'll translate it into English. This statement, this thing, that I'm the God, your God, is true. You could count as true and steadfast and correct and enduring and right and faithful and beloved and cherished and delightful, sweet, awesome, mighty, amended, accepted, good and beautiful. Why can't we just say it's true? I mean, if you tell somebody a story and they say it really happened, she say, It's true and it's steadfast and it's correct and it's enduring and it's really and it's beloved and it's cherished and I mean, enough is enough. It's true, emes. You want to say v'yatzev? What's the 16 times to affirm that I'm God, your God? So a chassid once explains this with the following story. The town's miser was ready, was preparing the wedding for his daughter. Now he wanted that everybody should attend the wedding. You know, it should be a wedding that besuits his standing and his dignity. But on the other hand, he was so stingy that he couldn't conceive, imagine the idea that he'll have to feed an entire city. If you want people to come to a wedding, you have to feed them. So he was extremely worried. So his estate manager, who was a brilliant man, came up with a ingenious scheme. And the town's miser will go to the market and begin ordering all types of food and delicacies that money can purchase. Let him order many, many barrels of wine from the wine cellar, many cases of vodka and brandy from the distillery, extraordinary quantities of beef and fowl from the butcher, bread and cakes from the baker, from the grocery, from the pastry maker, flowers from the florist, etc. Let them make sure everybody hears the large, awesome quantities of food that you're ordering for the wedding. And then I will already arrange with people in far towns, customers in far towns, to buy all of this food. And right after the chuppah, that will be in the courtyard of the shul, I, the estate manager, will come running to you. And displaying a horror, a face of horror, I'll tell you that a sudden fire broke out in the storehouse and consumed everything. The entire wedding feast was burnt. And that way, everybody will be there and will take out some herring and some old challah and will feed everybody. Brilliant scheme. The miser was very impressed, and so he did. And sure enough, within a few days, the whole town was abuzz with the news that we're going to be experiencing a wedding that this community has never seen in our history. I mean, the amount of food that was ordered, delicacies, the aristocracy, the royalty, it's just going to be, you know, unbelievable. And everybody was excited. And sure enough, everything was going according to the arranged plans, and the chuppah was over, and the bridegroom, the chassan, just broke the glass, and the shouts of mazel tovs were heard, and then finally began to die down, and a man comes running, the manager of his estate, very worried, very perturbed, and he shouts and he says, "Woe unto us! Woe unto us! What a calamity! What a tragedy! A fire broke out in the warehouse and everything was burnt down. Not one piece of food, nothing is left for the wedding feast." And the Jews are devastated, are astonished of the news. The wealthy Jew, the father of the bride, the miser of misers, takes a look at his manager, and a tinge of worry creeps into his heart. He looks too good. It looks too good. He really looks worried. So he turns to him and he says, "What, it really burnt down?" And the man says, "Yes, it really burnt down." And the tinge of worry grows within his heart. And he says, "You mean it really burned down?" And he says, "Yes, it really, really burned down." But he still can't believe it. He knows the plan. So he turns again and he says, "But it really burned down?" And he says, "Yes, the fire consumed everything and it destroyed everything and it really burned down." So he gives him, you know, he makes a gesture with his eye, a wink with his eye, to indicate that the next question is between you and I. Did it really, really burn down? And the man is now trembling, pale, and says, "Yes, it burned down." And now, he was really scared. And he pulls him to the sides, and he says, "Between you and I, You know, between we know, did it really, really burn down? And he says, yes, it burned down. And the miser fainted. So a Jew says, Ani Hashem Elokeich, I am your God. I exist. I am the essence of your life. So the Jew says, Emes, it's true. It's true. But then we ask, what do you mean? Is it really true? He says, V'yatziv, it's steadfast. But is it really, really true? V'nachayim v'kayim. Then we say, between you and I, nobody is looking, nobody is going to know, no peer pressure, no community pressure, no ish, nobody's going to know. Is it really true? Again and again and again. In your own private room, in your own bedroom, by day and by night, when nobody is looking and nobody is aware of it, and it's not going to have any consequence. It's not going to affect your family and your reputation and shidduchim. Nothing. Is it true? And for this, we have to say 16 times that yes, even in the deepest inner recesses, it's true. Now, what the Alter Rebbe is saying here is that this is the gift of Moshe, the first Moshe and the Moshe of every generation to a Jew. That we possess the capacity, the ability to experience in our mind and through our mind Hashem as something real, as something familiar, as something part of my life. This potential that spirituality and godliness should not just be an academic hypothesis, but that it should be a personal truth, that spirituality should click, so to speak, that that godliness should resonate, that it's real. This possibility for inner identification is a gift of Moshe. Moshe, so to speak, makes Hashem familiar. So there is the das that's bequeathed to the Jew by the very presence of Moshe in the soul and by the very presence of the Moshes in each generation. But Alter Rebbe adds, the main gift is they give you the ability that if you will contemplate and meditate and engage godliness in your mind and fix your mind on it, you will be able to make godliness real in your mind. Right. And now we understand why Moshe, in a sense, comprises all of the other six shepherds. All of the other six shepherds granted the Jewish people the availability of certain spiritual emotions. Avraham, love; Yitzchak, awe; Yaakov, compassion, empathy; David, sovereignty, malchus; Yosef, bonding, etc. But the key, so in the Jew's heart, there's a box filled with gems. There is a what do they call those boxes? Treasure box, a treasure container. A treasure chest that contains within it all of the Jewish feelings. All of the Yiddish gefillin of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Aaron, Yosef, David are all in that treasure box. But without the key, that will remain closed forever. Because as long as godliness is relegated to our cerebral dimension, and there's no das, we cannot create or even evoke and produce any emotion that's contained within us. Das is that awareness that allows us to feel an emotional attraction to it. If the truth is not true in my life, you don't become emotional about it. You become emotional about things that are real, that are immediate, that are impending. What do we become emotional about? We don't become emotional about abstract truths. I mean, I never saw any Bacher learning, any Jew learning Gemara, and learning that if Reuven takes Shimon to the Beis Din, and he says, Shimon, you stole from me 1,000,000 ruble. Anybody should get outraged with Shimon and start despising Shimon. Because it's a truth that remains, and is supposed to remain in the academic realm. If you want to become emotional about something, the first thing is you have to have das. So as a result of Moshe, there can then be emotions, and that's what V'ha'adam Yada Eschava means. As a result of Adam connecting with Chava, there can be birth, there can be children, which are emotions. Now, Now the question is, how to actually achieve this? The Alter Rebbe says Moshe gives the power to every Jew to achieve this. And this he'll discuss soon in the chapter. But what's relevant here at the moment is, how does Moshe Rabbeinu achieve this? How does Moshe in each generation achieve this? So the Alter Rebbe said, as we learned, that Moshe's soul comes from Das HaElyon on the first side of Perek Mem Beis. He said, Moshe's soul comes from Das HaElyon Shebiyut Sirus Datsilus, from the supernal Das, from the divine knowledge of the 10 emanations of the world of Atzilus, which are one with their emanator, because Hashem and his Das are one. So you asked last week a good question. Why is it important here to mention the nature of the supernal Das? It's important to mention that Moshe's soul comes from Das, so he gives that to us. But the Alter Rebbe goes in to describe the nature of the divine Das. It's one with its emanator. He and his Das are one. He quotes the Rambam, Hu Amada, as we discussed last week. Why is that relevant here? Another obvious question somebody asked last week is, the Alter Rebbe says that in each generation, sparks of Moshe descend and enclose themselves in the body and in the soul of the sages of the generation so that they can teach Das to the Jewish people. Why do they need sparks of Moshe Rabbeinu's soul? If they learn Torah, and they have powerful minds, and they develop themselves spiritually, they can teach divine knowledge to the Jewish people. Why do they have to have a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu's soul? It seems as that, the Alter Rebbe is saying, that is what grants them the ability to impart Das to the Jewish people. If you want to give knowledge to the Jewish people, you have to be knowledgeable. That's the prerequisite. And you have to be really knowledgeable. But why do you need a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu's soul? Which seems like a very mystical, is a mystical concept. Another very interesting thing is, knowing the meticulousness of the Alter Rebbe in Tanya, as discussed a number of times, look at Alter Rebbe's choice of words in the line beginning Minishmas Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom. Sparks descend from Moshe's soul. Umislapshin, they enclose themselves. Beguf v'nefesh l'chachmi adai. In the body and in the soul. What comes first? But he says first the body. Now the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe once wrote, apparently the Alter Rebbe should say soul first. Bechlal Tanya is a soul-oriented book. Certainly when you're talking about the sparks of Moshe Rabbeinu, are obviously connected to their soul, but the Alter Rebbe says body first. And the Rebbe explained that the reason for this is, if the Alter Rebbe would have written, B'nefesh v'guf shel chachmei hador, we would have assumed that the sparks enclose themselves in the soul of these sages. And via the soul, it affects their body as well. The nature of each of our souls affects our bodies because the soul and the body become one entity during our lifetime. So the Alter Rebbe says, no. To negate that interpretation, the sparks descend and enclose themselves in their very body. The body receives those sparks directly, not just via the conduit, not just via the soul. And now the question is, One second. The question is, if the whole point of these sparks is they should be able to teach the Jewish people Adas as Hashem, they should know Hashem, how do you teach the Jewish people with your body? You teach the Jewish people with your mind, with your soul, with your imagination, with your skills, with your talents. How do their bodies teach the Jewish people Das? If we're talking already, I mentioned to you last week, the Alter Rebbe writes that Moshe is one of the seven shepherds who gives the Jewish people chayus ve'elikus. He grants them vitality and godliness. So I mentioned it's a tradition that Alter Rebbe debated for a few weeks whether to write chayus elikus, divine vitality, or vitality and godliness. Vitality and divinity, and that's how he left it. And what's the significance of that? But in light of how he defined Das, we can understand all of this. Because Das in godliness does not mean, as mentioned, an intellectual knowledge in the basis of Jewish philosophy. Das is not expertise in Jewish theology. That's chachma, that's bina, that's beautiful, but it's not das. Das is that godliness becomes intellectually familiar, right? Relevant, immediate, personal, intimate. And in order that Moshe Rabbeinu should give this to the Jew, it's not enough that his soul comes from das. One of the spheroids, one of the emanations of Atzilus. He has to say that the das of Atzilus is one with its emanator. And as a result of this, we also understand the choice of all of the above mentioned choices that Alter Rebbe made while writing this chapter. I want to explain this for a few moments. Chassidim used to explain this. It was a very interesting parable. There is a drawer and there's an artist. There's a sketcher and there's an artist. What is an artist?